Yeah, so let's talk about who is the most realistic people or entities to accomplish that. Because I absolutely agree that we should call on the PNB and all five LSBs to roll up their sleeves and put on their thinking caps and try to come up with those agencies. But I think from experience, when we've tried that before, not much happens unless this committee exerts leadership. So, first of all, let me ask if there's anyone on tonight's call who would have time in the next few weeks to make some calls locally to whether it's the League of Women Voters or clean government groups or election monitoring groups or whoever. And also there's a couple of national groups. I'm not talking about the companies that do this, you know, for a fee. I'm talking about just nonprofits. Is there anyone in your local area who would be willing to make some calls in the next few weeks?
There's Michael. I'll work on that. I'll put it up higher on my priority list, and I'm going to, if people have ideas and don't have time to make the calls, if they want to send me the contact information or at least the name of the group, I'll try to do that.
Okay.
This is Jessica from KPFT. I have some time between today and Thursday where I'm not required to work during daytime. If someone could send me numbers and names to call.
Okay. Well, let's see. We have Adriana is on the call from Houston as well. Can you suggest any organizations that, thank you, Jessica, that Jessica might call locally?
Yeah. I think that the Human Eagles, that's the name of the organization. Nancy.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear you, Adriana.
I think that Nancy remembered the name of the organization. Okay.
League of Women Voters, yeah. And I did call Public Citizen, and Public Citizen said, oh, we don't have enough staff to be helping you with your election, but we'll put it out on our appeal note. But they wanted to have time, air time. So if we were to go to these various groups or nonprofit groups and see if we can get a team to be a LES team and give them, after the election is over, give them airtime like ACLU or Public Citizen or Women's League of Voters. They want airtime, so if we could do a deal with them, I think we would be more successful in getting their help.
Yeah, I think we have to be very careful about any kind of arrangement that involves, in return for services, we provide airtime, because there's all kinds of FCC rules that may apply to that sort of arrangement. So, I would not recommend that anyone go out and make any promises.
Oh, no, I didn't make any promises. That was what they were interested in.
Yeah. Okay, Michael?
I'm assuming a question. I think the whole point of trying to get we went to a group that was actually not involved sort of on the air with Pacifica, therefore they would be less likely to get involved in some of the internal turmoil and divisions. So I would stay away from that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what Michael said.
Sorry, I was saying that the whole point of looking for a nonprofit is to try to get a group that's sort of outside the internal machinations and divisions of Pacifica that would be, therefore able to just make some unbiased rulings or enforcement of the regulations. And so I would stay away from the group that wanted to get on the air, because I think that would just embroil them with all the stuff that we're already all embroiled with.
Right. Now that makes a lot of sense. All right, well, can I make a suggestion, Michael? Would you be willing to draft, like a 2 or 3 paragraph summary of what we're looking for that then anyone on the committee or off the committee could use as a talking point when they make their phone calls to whether it's the League of Women Voters or any kind of good government or clean elections type of group? Michael?
Well, you said you can hear me? Sorry.
Yeah, now I can.
I have the phone on speaker. I thought you actually were going to go over the list of responsibilities of the LES and identify some ones that seemed that, like they could be handled in that way.
Well,
if you can send me the job description of an LES, I could work on plucking some things out that make sense for that a group could handle without necessarily taking the whole job on.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly dig up the job description from last year. Does that, is everyone comfortable with Michael just doing something very informal? And I think it should have language saying that this is not an official roster of responsibilities. It's just a general sense of the type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I'll have to send the draft out to the list.
Yeah. And then I think it should be clear in any conversations with these organizations that it's not an all or nothing. It's not either you give us someone willing to do every single task on this list or we're not interested. It's that even if they could just do two of the tasks, we would consider it. I mean, again, we're not going to promise anything because we don't have any authority to promise anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it might be something that could shave a few hours off of the LES's billing. You know, if the League of Women Voters would do this, this, and this, but not anything else, then okay, you know, it's like every bit helps. Does anyone have a problem with that approach?
Bob, this is Nancy.
Go ahead.
I think we should go all the way and try to get a free LES team from as many organizations that we can, so we don't have to pay anything. And I think we could promise them, or consider promising them, that we would say we want to thank this organization, so you know, who's helping with the elections, and we can thank them on the air. I think there's nothing wrong with that. That might be good. I mean, like, I can think of one group, Healthcare for All Texas. They might be happy to do that. They do come to the station anyway. But, like I said, give them something. And then the more people that volunteer to do that just makes our reach bigger. And, I think it's good if we don't just make it like one person. I think that's crazy having one person as an LES or it's too stressful.
Right. Well, we have to keep in mind the bylaws. The bylaws do assign these tasks to one person.
Uh-huh.
However, you know, it doesn't list the job description of the LES. So, I mean, it lists certain things that they must do, but there are other things that through experience we've learned that they should do, that there is no bylaw prohibition on, if you will, subcontracting, or in this case, you know, asking volunteers to do. So I think there's some room for flexibility, but again, let me strongly emphasize that no one of us, whether we're an elected committee member or just a volunteer who's trying to help, has any authority to promise anything. So everything should be hedged with, you know, we can discuss different possibilities, and if you want to make a proposal, you know, we can take it back and consider it, but, you know, we can't tell you anything definitive. This is an exploratory conversation. That would be the way I would suggest framing it.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments on how to go about this? Okay. Is there anyone else from any other station area that would be willing to make a call or two in the next few weeks?
This is Nancy. Is it okay if I call some school groups?
What do you mean by school groups?
Like university teachers that are doing political science, or see if maybe some of the students want to help in this election for their education.
Oh, that seems like an interesting idea. Any feedback from other committee members?
Yeah,
any problem with involving asking a university to get involved?
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
Usually we call the BGR, some of the Bureau of Government Research, is like a political science majors
What did you say? BGR, what's that?
It was It was called the Bureau of Government Research. It was like a political science major society and a bunch of different campuses. I don't know if it still exists or not.
Michael, can you write that down in your when you send out your draft?
Okay.
Just to remind us all about the name of that entity, and maybe we can all look it up at our local university.
Yeah, I'll Google it. And see
okay.
Anything turns up.
All right. So let's
I was offering earlier that if people have, I might have some time to call since I am retired. So, if people have ideas and questions in their area but can't make the call, if they get me the contact information, I'll try to do that.
Oh, that's terrific. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, all right. Michael.
All right. So any last comments on this question of outreach to get some nonprofits to help us? All right. So it doesn't sound like we really need a formal motion, just an informal agreement that those who have time will try to make some calls. Michael will coordinate the process, and we'll write a draft of talking points and maybe some suggestions about types of organizations. And, of course, if anyone has suggested organizations, even if you don't have time to make the call, since Michael does, just post it to the listserv, and Michael can take it from there. Okay? So I guess...
The main thing I was saying is that when we present the motion to the... TNB, that we let them know that we are engaging in this and looking at other possible cost-cutting recommendations.
Exactly. Right. So we'll check in, assuming we're still going to have that meeting 2 weeks from tonight, we can check in on where we're at, how much progress has been made, and inform the PNB accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right, good. So we got that done. Michael Wizard or any of the other working group members, is there anything else from your report that we should take action on tonight?
Well, Benito, it's just a question. Michael, I don't have, Michael and Bob and Bruce, I don't have my notes in front of me, but I know that we came up with some pretty detailed recommendations, and I'm just wondering, don't we need to get this as a full committee to pass them?
Oh, that's a good point. Actually, we did hear the report read, but we didn't formally adopt it. So I think that would be useful to say that the committee adopted this. Full committee.
Yeah.
So we did read it, or Michael virtually word for word read it. I don't think we need to reread it. Is there anyone who needs any clarification? I'm sorry, we should have done that at the time he read it, but is there anyone ready to vote on this? Anyone need anything read back, any particular part of it? I mean, it was a month-by-month kind of timeline of what tasks need to be done. All right.
Yeah, it was divided up in January through March, in March, April through May, and then June. So that's pretty much.
Okay. So.
Yeah, does that encompass everything that we passed at December 21st or the 20th meeting or something like that?
Yeah, that's what he was reading from, was what came out of the December 22nd meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask this. Do we need this committee to make a motion including any of that to send to the PMB?
Well, yeah, that would be the idea, that by embracing it as the full committee's recommendations, then that would be something.
So then it becomes the motion of the...
It's helpful to frame it as a motion that they have to go through this detailed thing and adopt each and every sentence as official binding policy. This is, other people can weigh in. I see this as our guidance to the IED, largely, as saying these are the steps you need to take if this election is going to run on schedule. I think it'll never get past the PNB when it's this long and detailed, and I don't think that's really what's needed. I think we just need to lay out, this needs to happen. And, other people, please weigh in if you have a different approach.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, the two motions we passed basically are the January proposal and the January through March proposal. And, so then, if there are additional motions, I think we can begin to present them, as we go along there. I would say this should just be forwarded to the PNB as, kind of the timeline that people need to keep in mind as they're going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think the preface could be something like the Elections Committee. A working group of the Elections Committee developed the following timeline, which the Election Committee has endorsed. And then, boom, January to March, April, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
All right, so is there any objection to passing that as a motion that simply says we endorse the report of our working group? Okay, hearing none, then that's adopted. Okay, so anything else we should do tonight on cost cutting or timetable or any of these other steps? Well,
I'll just ask you to think about the question of the carts. I know it's controversial.
I'm sorry,
so
question of the what?
The question about the number of carts and rotations. I know it's controversial. I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but please think about it. Develop your arguments one way or the other. I'll just say that at KPFK, we're looking at having to fill the entire local station board when this election happens. That means we're filling 18 listener seats. That means we're going to have probably a minimum of 36, maybe even 48 candidates or something or more. And the idea of having whatever that comes to, we won't play it out. I know it's going to get pushback and resistance from the staff, and I think it's going to be a huge undertaking for the LES. So just think about it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, Michael, can I ask you a favor? Would you be willing sometime in the next 2 weeks to just write a paragraph or so with the rationale for this?
Okay, sure.
Okay.
The rationale, well.
And then, and then we'll discuss it at our next meeting. It would just be from Michael's viewpoint, and then we'll decide whether we agree or not.
We have a little bit of time. It might be useful to, he can write it up and it'll be, but maybe he can get the juices flowing if he just laid out his thought to us so we can think about it, because frankly, when I first read that in the minutes, I automatically reacted. I said, well, wait a minute, what are you saying here? So, I don't know.
Well, that's exactly why I thought it would help if we wrote it up, so we're not just reacting on the night of the next meeting, but we've had something in writing to think about before the meeting.
Yeah, it's already, after 7 here, so it's after 10 there. I'll try to write something up and, you can just think about it next time. We have another meeting this month, right? We said we were going to meet.
Yeah. Now, the other thing we should be moving toward, not tonight, but, soon, is this idea of the RFP, Request for Proposals for an Outside Company. I should say company or nonprofit, because there are one or two nonprofits in the field of running elections professionally. I think we're going to have to be able to answer the question which some PNB members have posed in the past year, which is, I'm not sure whether it saved money to have an outside organization, although I think it was not only the cost argument, but also the fact that the quality of some of the work done by previous NESs had fallen short, and so it was important to have professionals who do this, all the time and have a lot of experience run it in a way that, and people or institutions that have a reputation. There are different opinions on whether that worked out last time, so I'm not making a particular argument, but I'm just saying we need to be prepared to have that discussion in the committee and decide whether we're going to recommend that there again be an RFP this year. I would be inclined to say let's at least go through that process and do the RFP, and then we can decide based on the bids, whether we want to recommend that any of those bids be accepted, as opposed to just having an NES do it, her or himself. So any comments on that general question about an RFP, yes or no, what it should cover?
Well, this is Bruce?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm just not sure. Does this committee, have the right and the authority to actually draft an RFP? In other words, it's one thing to recommend that an RFP go out, but do we actually have the authority to draft one? I mean, that sounds like something that should come from the full PMD or even the executive director. I'm not sure if this committee can do. Can we do that?
Well, I hear what you're saying, and it is a question of sequence. We've done it on at least two previous elections. The question is, do we have to be formally authorized by the board to draft it? I don't believe we do, because everything we do is advisory. So
this would be an advisory.
Oh yeah, completely.
Oh, okay.
Let me be very clear. I am not suggesting this committee has the authority to both draft and publish publicly
okay.
a request for proposals that we would then solicit companies and nonprofits. I'm simply suggesting we consider whether we want to not necessarily go through what could be a rather lengthy process of asking the PNB to allow us to draft it, and then months go by before we can even start drafting, as opposed to simply investing some time, recognizing there's a chance that they may vote it down altogether. And so just being willing to take that risk in the interest of a smooth and economic election and say, you know what, we'll roll up our sleeves, draft it, and you can do with it what you want, but we want to at least put it on the table. Any comments? Any more comments? Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I think if you could pull up the two previous drafts that were produced actually from the committee. And
okay. Let me clarify. Really, last year's, because last year's built on the previous.
Right,
so. Go ahead.
The other thing I think is that somebody, and I think you're probably in the best position to do that, should communicate with the people who actually got the contract last time.
Uh-huh. Communicate what?
To get some feedback from them about what the correspondence between the job they actually had to do and the RFP and their grasp of that, or any point that they would have to clarify to the bidders what the job really entails or something along those lines. You get what I'm saying?
I do get the drift. I have to think about that because there were payment issues, as everyone knows.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't, I have to think about how we would want to communicate with them. But yeah, I mean, it's a good suggestion. So let's think about how to approach that. Okay. I know we have the general topic of cost cutting on the agenda, but I'm not sure what else we can do tonight. Does anyone have any specific suggestions of what we should talk about?
I'd like to move to adjourn, actually.
I want to say just one thing so people can think about it, about cost cutting. We did, until last year, we were always counting the things and tabulating ourselves at each station. And, yeah, there were problems. And then we paid this company so much money, and we did not even get to go and watch, really. We were told at the last moment that we couldn't really see anything, even if we went. I just didn't like that. And then
Hold on. That's not quite accurate. I was one of the observers. They were told.
But not the whole time, just this short
moment. Well, let me clarify, because I was there. It was an open process for anyone who wanted to truck out to Long Island, which is about an hour and a half outside of New York City. So it was certainly not convenient to do it, but it was, there was never any difficulty in seeing the entire process from beginning to end. But you are raising the important question of, do we want to again go with a centralized national vote count as opposed to what had been done in previous elections, which is five local vote counts. That's a question we need to think about.
Think about it. And think about it. One more thing. I was thinking it might be better KPFT's, all their ballots from their list, their members, were not counted by KPFT people, but were counted by another station. Each station counted a different station's ballots. That might be a little better. I'm sure in our case it would be a whole lot better than us counting our own ballots.
Okay, well, these are all issues for much later in the process that we can think
yes.
about. So before we adjourn, what we did have on the agenda was to...
Can
someone please mute the music in the background? We just wanted to check in about the date of January 23rd, which is... January, let me see here. 27th, sorry. Which is 2 weeks from tonight. That's our next scheduled meeting. Is there anyone who thinks that we don't need to meet 2 weeks from now? Okay, yeah, I mean, I think it would be wise to meet. I mean, clearly, mm-hmm. if there's not a lot of work that's been done and there's not a lot to decide, we can always end the meeting on the early side. But so since I'm hearing no concerns or objections, then I would take that as just a decision that we're going to continue to meet on January 27th. And then, you know, we should decide at that meeting, since by February we may have some new members elected from some of the LSBs, you know, whether we want to change the meeting date for next year, but or at least not for the year right away, because we won't know till we have the full new membership. But perhaps for the February meeting, do we want to stick with the fourth Monday of the month or something else? But we don't have to get into that tonight. Okay, last call. Any other final business before we adjourn?
Could I ask a question?
Thank you for sharing the reading.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Please repeat.
Thanks for sharing. Happy New Year, everybody.
Welcome.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you all. Okay.
Thank you for chairing the meeting. Thank you very, very much for chairing this meeting. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you all for being here and being very productive. So we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Good night. Good evening, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.